Welcome to Polycast, a Civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mean Team.
Ed Jin. With guest co-hosts...
The Chris D.
Alchemical Dream.
And Pete in the chat. Saltpeter? No. No. We don't talk about saltpeter, Pete.
No.
Actually got brought up in the thread. My only answer to that would have been, so you want to give people aneurysms.
Welcome to episode 261. This is Alchemical Dream. I'm here today with Dan Q.
First look, but not the last.
Imagine.
Stop looking at me.
Chris?
It's the replacement troll. Wahaha.
And Mackie.
Shock.
All right. So, that was the intro.
Yes, first order of business. Onto the news. Wow.
I'm glad Madjin made it clear that that was the intro. We wouldn't have known otherwise if Matt hadn't said that.
You've
got to delineate these things.
So the biggest piece of news so far is there's been leaked photos going around of potentially all of the launch leaders of the civilizations for Civ 6. And people are kind of trying to figure out, based on the very grainy JPEG, totally not photoshopped picture, of who those leaders could be and what civilizations they'll be running.
Which sort of makes me wonder why Dan didn't do this dev team video first before we talked about this, considering it was part of that.
We will talk about that video, but really, this has superseded the video. It has taken on a whole new life. Most people have no idea, or if they do have an idea, they don't care it actually came from that video. It's just a screenshot now. It's just a screen grab. That's all it is.
It is the most important thing that happened while we were sleeping.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a thread started on the 12th of July by Nunor, and in a week and a half, we've got 172,000 views plus some, about 2,400 replies. That's a fair bit.
It had most of those within the first day or two, and then it just kind of cycled into bad stuff.
Like the related thread, which is, here's a poll. So do you guys think this was on purpose or what?
You never know.
I enjoyed actually that poll. Was the leader information in the video a troll? So none of the above, which means either a big oops, puzzle with mostly correct information, or troll with misleading information.
And I pick troll.
Yeah, you know, I kind of don't want to go with troll myself because, you know, I really want to play that little mammal in the bottom right corner. That's my civ.
It's a
right there. Yeah.
It's a civet. I kept telling people the civet was the most important thing on the picture, and it took forever for people to figure out why.
Does that mean civets are going to be a new luxury resource?
I don't know, but the civet's starting to take over some of the people's profile pictures now. The actual thread in the first, 50 pages, maybe, was all good information and information hunting. People managed to find the reference photos for, 20? Well, not all of them, but...
So far, all but five.
Well, yeah, except that three of those are the in-game images for America, China, and Egypt. So those three don't count because they're actually in-game images, so can't really find a reference photo for that. The game. But they're missing two that they really absolutely have no clue about. Whether this was on purpose or not, it took less than a couple hours to get most of the pictures, about a day to get maybe another 25% of them, and people basically figured out everything real quick. There is some arguments, though, about a couple of them, and I think that's actually kind of amusing. So in the thread, they actually went in column and row. So all the references in the thread are about the columns and the rows. So there is one leader at B5, we're playing bingo now, between Germany and Greece, and it's either Tamara of Georgia, or an alternate leader for Germany, or it's, the Goss or some Native American who might randomly call great or something. So, there's a few competing theories out there, and probably most of them are wrong. The ultimate test for this thread. I don't care that you want your personal favorite in there, or you think this must be this because if you can't find a photo that matches, it doesn't count. And if you seriously can't find a photo that matches, move on to something else. Constantly saying it's the Ottomans for the C5 isn't getting you anywhere unless you can actually show a photo. And that's how they confirmed all the rest of them, because they actually found photos that relates to the other ones. And they actually posted those photos.
Yeah, C5 is such a blurry mess. I don't think you could possibly find a photo for that.
Yeah, no, it's people keep posting, well, here's what I think it is, and start drawing on the photo, on the blurry mess, and I'm like, it's a freaking splotch. I don't know how you're getting anything out of that one. So confirmed stuff from the thread is obviously Saladin of Arabia, Monty the first, not the second, Pedro the second of Brazil, Vicky from England, which I already knew. One of the leaders that caused minor uproar was Catherine de Menci for France, because some people hate her with a passion for some strange reason. I don't know. She's the mother of France.
Mother of three different kings, and they're just like, no, but she wasn't actually the ruler, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, she was the ruler, because none of those three wanted to do the job, or could.
She was the effective ruler, if not the literal one, let's put it that way.
Controversial leaders are the best leaders, because that gets you talking about it, and it creates buzz and conversation, leading to greater sales, probably. I'm going to play this, even though I don't want to play this leader, just to spite y'all.
Good old spite.
I don't know if this is really a troll with misleading information or falls with mostly correct information, but I don't believe for a minute that this is a big oops, which is the second most popular response in that poll. There is no way that this went by all of these different people from the filming and the editing and what we've seen in the past. Like, for example, going years back to tours of Firaxis Studios, where there would be – yeah, this was clearly B-footage roll.
Yeah, clearly B-roll. Clearly.
And we saw, just even going through halls, stuff in the past in the Firaxis office, stuff being covered on the wall because they knew filming was going to take place. There was absolutely none of that. I bet there was a pool at 2K in Firaxis to see how many minutes it would take for the first thread to be generated within the Sith community, and someone walked away with some mad spending money that weekend.
Yeah, well, that was funny. The funny part is, in the video itself, Ed talks about how they read the forums a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then this happens to be in here. It's only for a couple frames, too. It's not like it was on there the whole time. It's only a small period of time that it was actually on the screen, and somebody saw it and went, wait, what's this? Oh, wait.
We win. It's also entirely possible that Civ or 2K for Firaxis in general are starting to take Valve's concept of doing ARGs, and maybe this is their first foray into it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they might unlock something else if we can manage to figure it all out before they announce them all.
If we can figure out Blurry later, maybe we'll get a bonus Civ.
Yay.
This was a test to see which Civs get released when. Obviously, Blurry Civ number 1 and Blurry Civ number 2 are going to be the absolute last two.
We'll find out 4 days and 2 days before release.
Exactly. Even if it was a massive blunder, they can at least take from this that no one knows what those two are yet, so make those go last so there's still anticipation.
But at least while they're releasing everything else, that does give us confirmation and making sure that we know vindication that, yay, we figured this out, we're right, yay.
Yeah.
And if that was an early board of what they were thinking about doing, and we're wrong on some of those, we'll find out.
Mm. So as for the other ones that were confirmed pretty quickly, Frederick I of Germany, and there was an argument, I can't believe there was an actual argument, about whether or not he leads Germany or just an HRE, and why would they use HRE, because the real Germany didn't get started until later in life. The Second Reich was when Otto did it. The Third Reich was when Hitler did it. So if those were the Second and the Third Reich, gee, I wonder when the first one was. Oh, right, the Germans believe it was the Kingdom of Germany, which Frederick leads.
And there is a whole separate related thread on CFC about, so what do you think about the leader choice for your country?
I have completely ignored that thread. Not even going to bother. Pretty sure Cassie Demenci is going to get...
Oh, raked over. Also, the leader that they think is Toland, the other lady, also got raked over, I saw.
Yeah, there's a few too many commentary people in some of these threads that only focus on the women as the bad leaders, because...
And we're not talking about any of the men being bad leaders, huh?
Yeah.
Suspicious.
That's pure coincidence, guys and gals.
Pure totally. Coincidence. Could not be anything
pure
else.
Pure coincidence.
No, because Congo has Alfonso. And while it was brought up that, briefly, Alfonso is probably a bad leader for Congo, most of the commentary seems to be pure hatred towards a certain few female leaders, and this is not right.
Just as long as Victoria doesn't start asking if you'd be interested in a trade agreement.
Otherwise, Greece, we have Pericles.
It ain't Alex.
Yeah.
Yay.
No, Alex for what? We don't have to look at Alex. We had Pericles in four, didn't we? Yeah.
Oh, and then, of course, the very next one, Gandhi. But I'll just leave that up.
He wasn't.
What? It's not Civ without Gandhi. Come on.
Or you totally hate that it's Civ with Gandhi. Well, his face was plastered on the release trailer.
And he's a freaking gaming meme.
Yes.
Yes. Not a Civ without Gandhi in there to maybe nuke us.
So Japan with Hojo, though we were also pretty sure of that beforehand, but they just happened to find the picture for it. Poland, Jadwiga. Or however you want to actually...
I'm sure the Poles are going to come on and going to start slating your pronunciation, that just like they always do whenever I'm pronouncing Polish province names.
That's why I didn't try when we were talking about that earlier.
Just abbreviated, it's Jad. There's the name.
Okay, so Daddy. So this list, in theory, includes the base civs and some of the soon-to-be DLC civs. As we know, Monty is a pre-release bonus. So the question is, Poland base game civ... Or is she DLC Civ? That's a good question.
That's completely open to interpretation, which, of course, stops nobody.
Yeah, exactly. But people might argue a lot whether or not Poland's worthy of being in the base game, let alone a DLC Civ. But that's just me.
Well, clearly you have to have whatever you consider to be traditional Civs. They need to be part of DLC if you want to drive sales, obviously.
Yeah.
You have to have the civs that aren't usually in the game, let alone leaders you're not usually associated with in the base game. You got to keep people guessing.
Yeah.
It was great. It was like they did with Civ 5. It's like, where is Shaka and the freaking Zulus? Oh, don't worry about it. Eventually. And it eventually came.
Yeah. They're not going to make 50 civs to start. That's just not going to happen. Moving on, we got Peter for Russia. They did say somewhere along the way that they wanted to switch up the leaders for not just always having the same leaders to make it more interesting.
Speaking of changing things up.
Yeah, we got Scythia, Tamiris, and Scythia.
And honestly, I'm certain some people read that and thought, did I date her? It sounds like a woman's name. I'm sorry, it really does. The Civ name does.
Okay.
I'm a horrible person.
Well, the leader is a female, so...
It makes me wonder, is Scythia going to, I suppose we're going to figure it out, are they going to become the nomads of the base game, considering there's a potential Mongolia might not be in it?
Yeah, maybe. You never know. And this is where we start getting into slightly questionable, so I'll skip over the next two and go to Sumeria with Gilgamesh!
Ah.
Yay! Gilly's back.
Someone's getting writing first.
Turn when you reek a moment toward writing.
Yep. And then, of course, the civet. So then there was this Spain Isabella, question mark, and Spain Philip, two, question mark. Although these are not actual question marks in the sense of maybe it's wrong. This is the fun part about this thread. They found the reference photos. So they found Isabella, reference photo, and they found Philip II, reference photo. And they match really good, like 99% good, if not better. Except people keep arguing that that couldn't possibly be these two people because, well, one, their favorite civ isn't in, therefore you have to discount one of these two to possibly be wrong. Or two, they just don't want to believe in alt leader. Because the alt leader concept has been out there as a theory for a while. Oh, and yeah, I should actually throw in, because this was found, like, most obviously first. The Isabella in the photo is Isabella of Portugal, not actually, like, leader of Portugal, but she was from Portugal, and not the Isabella we all know who loves natural wonders. So they did a search for Isabella Spain, looking for Catholic Isabella, but they found this Portuguese one. So even though people confirm that, yeah, that's probably Isabella, they're like, yeah, you know what? You do Isabella Spain in a Google search and you get the wrong picture. Even in the thread, they're like, it's the right picture, but they probably use the wrong reference photo due to a bad search. If they assume, of course, that they meant to have the proper Isabella. But you never know. Maybe they actually meant to have the wrong one on purpose. if there is two Spains, which obviously by reference photo seems to be, even if one picture is wrong, the question has come up, why would there only be one Civ with two leaders? And almost always gets discounted. Well, of course there wouldn't be just one Civ with two leaders.
There might be more with two leaders, guys.
No, that part never logically made it into any argument for at least 50 pages.
Logic? Come on, guys. Not even a little bit of logic?
No, but that's where they get the idea that B5 is a secondary German leader, because obviously there can't be a second Greece leader. Alex?
Yeah.
Like, come on. There can't possibly be a second leader for Greece. No.
I'm just waiting for the sequel to this thread once the game is released. Hey, these leaders look too much like this stock photo. They ripped off images.
Yeah.
Instead of making their own.
Oh, good grief. Although we totally know the thread's going to happen, but also good grief.
Yeah, Civ 5 icon controversy, anyone?
Uh-huh. There's been a mild uproar over question of no natives, no Southeast Asian, no all sorts of stuff. And literally, as much as people complain about all that stuff, where's my Vikings?
Yeah.
China. All right,
so how do you like this new version of the Great Wall?
Ooh, it's fancy.
Yes.
It's definitely great in the size sense.
Dude is also happy that it means there's only one Civ that can Great Wall him now.
Yep. But it'll be consistent.
And according to Firaxis' Pete Murray, Great Wall does not slow units down. Yes.
Dan is so happy right now.
No, I really hope that they do some sort of slowdown or stoppage or something with it. Because seriously, it's a great big freaking wall. It should at least do something, because you're not going to build a great big freaking wall and then have to spam a unit per hex just to keep people off of it. That would be dumb.
Oh, yeah, and there was the whole, some people raised the question of, wow, the wall should fall in between hexes. It shouldn't take up a whole hex. Now what the heck are we going to do? And I'm thinking, as someone else said, well, it's a choice.
Yeah.
In addition to it only being able to be built on your current border, you're going to have to make a choice. Do I want a Great Wall segment there, or do I want a district there, or do I want to put a farm there?
Yeah.
That's good in that respect. I think it's actually a good thing.
Also factor in, yeah, you're going to get leaking yields from it as well, culture and eventually tourism from it as well. So it's an early investment for a late payoff.
Yeah, sort of. Somebody figured out that two Great Wall tiles next to each other gives you an extra bonus gold.
Hmm.
So by putting them next to each other, then they start getting extras.
We also don't know how things are going to interact. Maybe it will slow down units in the sense of it has to be taken out and sieged down. I wonder if you could make it double thick, especially if you have to build on your border, and then your border expands, and you just build a second layer.
Well, if it's builder base, you might be able to, like, tear it down, too.
Possibly, yeah, it would count as a target.
Or maybe that's the question. Yeah. If you build it, can you take it away?
They can be pillaged, so if they can be pillaged, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to remove it outright. Like, you could have a worker in Civilization V remove a road.
Yeah.
In addition to it being pillaged by other units, I wouldn't see why not. It's on the map, like a road would be on the map.
Yeah.
Maybe this is also why builders get a gain plus one charge as part of China. You might want to build this great wall here. Oh, let's help you out here.
Yeah. Unique ability of China is dynasty cycles-ish, something weird statement, which increase the bonus of Eureka moments and inspiration moments, so both for tech and civics, a bigger boost than everybody else does when you do the Eurekas, which sort of makes sense. They did a lot of stuff early, even if they then turned around and forgot it later for a long time. The leader, and I'm not even going to bother because I'll just get yelled at later.
Kinshi Wong.
Yeah, Kinshi Wong.
There you go. I'll get yelled at instead.
Okay.
It's fine.
Builders get an extra charge, and they can speed up wonder production for ancient and classical wonders only.
Yeah, that seems like a great thing to stack with the pyramids, because the pyramids give the workers an extra charge to use future. Yeah.
So yeah, you build the worker, start building the pyramids, use that worker to fast build the pyramids to get more churches, to build more builders, to fast build other stuff.
I was going to say, it makes me wonder, are the builders going to be like 25% wonder per charge, or is it going to be less? Because otherwise, in theory, you could build a wonder by basically just putting the production to a builder, which I presume is going to be a lot cheaper than the actual production cost of the Wonder.
Chris is like, I wonder if, and then starts talking about Wonders. Well done.
I wonder if Wonder. I'm sure they will attempt to balance that sort of issue, because if the cost of one builder is less than the Wonder, but you could use that builder to basically speed build the Wonder, then that would be called broken.
Yes, just a little.
Well, and especially if the builders have one charge, if you use it to help rush a Wonder, when I hear rush, my brain automatically translates to, okay, so it expends that builder completely, however many charges they have. Although the question some people said is, so if they have four builds, does that mean each builder can rush four times?
Looking at it, it seems the builder uses one, possibly two charges in it. I'm not sure, because the Wonder's model completes and then covers up a builder. Or covers up one of the unit models. But yes, the entire builder is not expended.
Yeah. So anyways, they have a cannon, a short-range cannon, as their unique unit, who's on Powell, otherwise known as the Crouching Tiger Cannon.
LOL.
Thanks for the Hidden Dragon achievement.
I approve so much.
And it'll probably be something like use cannons to blast some far future thing, something. Ooh, use cannons to launch nukes.
And, of course, the description of it is it doesn't require specific resources to produce, which, of course, led to the question, okay, so whatever unit it replaces, it requires a specific resource? Well, number one, no, not necessarily. And number two, we've already seen instances where just because you can get the unique version, which is the equivalent of the vanilla version, does not mean that you cannot also build the vanilla version. Right? Because isn't it with Japan that you can build samurai, but you can also build swordsmen? It's not, oh, I can't have swordsmen, they have to be samurai. So maybe that's the same with this cannon.
Possible. Or it just comes early, or...
cheaper. And of course, as with any reveal of any civilization, people started to jump into, this is underwhelming. No, this is overpowered. And it's like,
oh, of course.
I know it's inevitable, but let's just hold off such conversations until we can actually play the game and see how that works relative to everything else in the mechanics. Like, I know speculation is great and whatnot, but even just qualifiers, like, this might be overpowered if, or this would probably be overpowered if, as opposed to some people just, oh, no, this is overpowered, this is crap.
Although, things to note is that they actually continued to release the videos in the time zone of the country that the video was about. So sort of like Japan got released in a Japanese time zone where, you know, they weren't sleeping. Same for China, so it showed up on a Chinese site before actually showing up on the 2K site.
I think that's subtle but very appropriate.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're going to add you to the, to Civ. Wait, why are you sleeping? Wake up!
Wake up, you've been added to Civ.
I think the overall concept for China looks like basically early game, not great expanders, but depending on when the Great Wall shows up, they can get out there, claim some land, and lock it down so that early barbs and early rushes would have to deal with this whole units on Great Wall so that they can sit behind it and have a nice clean area that is not barb infested so that they can build wonders.
It almost sounds like they're becoming the new Egypt.
But with more defenses.
Yay, defenses.
And a better weapon.
Yeah, because who builds war chariots?
Yeah, no, I do like the cannon a lot, though, but I'm a big fan of things like Gatling Gun or like the Hand Axeman, where they can attack from one square away without taking any damage, so I was pretty impressed with that unit.
Yeah, it is one range, a single range unit, so you do have to bring it up close and personal before you, you know, set it off.
It makes me wonder if it's replacing a cannon, is the cannon going to be also short range, or is this particular unique unit going to get a power boost, or is that the trade-off, the non-strategic resource is the trade-off for the range?
Yes.
All of these questions should be answered a hell of a lot later.
Whatever.
Who knows?
Am I going to be pissed off whatever your answer to my question is? Yes.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's there, but they didn't actually show regular cannons, or I think some people think it might actually be a trebuchet replacement instead. So they didn't actually show regular units beside it to go, here's the comparison between this and that. So well, they're still leaving some of it mysterious.
Yeah, it does look like it comes in a pretty early era, though, because it's fighting some really early units. So
well, either they just haven't upgraded in a heck of a long time, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They're still great for fighting barbs.
Yeah. My favorite part of the Civ, though, is the better Eureka bonuses, I think. I like Science Civs.
Well, that's a nice long game thing.
Yeah, I feel like even like the early stuff, like you throw it down next to the water, you get that bonus to the sailing or something, I think it is. Even those really early techs, you can get through a little bit faster. And I could see myself rushing the pyramids with them over and over again.
Now, when it comes to China's agenda, the video talks about they would focus on wonders, and I'm thinking, well, seeing as how the builders can rush ancient and classical wonders, I sure the heck hope that that would be their set agenda.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Build early wonders, and then sit there, hiding them.
Hide them behind your big wall.
Your great wall. Seagull Warriors, yay. I mean, they could have done Jaguar Warriors too, but, you know, take your pick. They're both good. I'm not even going to try and pronounce this unique building, but it's a ball court.
Amenities, faith, and great general points. Not that we know anything about amenities, other than they're in the game, but, okay, let's just mention it again.
Yeah, the amenities are mentioned again, and we're like, okay, and those are? Well, if you don't get sacrificed in the ball court, you can get sacrificed on the top of the wonder, which was a big, huge temple, which is actually ruins left of still, but... guess what? It's where all the sacrificing happened. Yay.
Yay!
We know that's the wonder, but it doesn't tell us what it does in the game.
Some people immediately went, wait, the Aztecs get a unique wonder?
Nope.
No, 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 no.
The wonder comes with the DLC.
Which is the whole unique troll. Yep. Even though it's a mountain out of a molehill to me, quite honestly, but
yep.
I'm not surprised there is controversy around
it. Does this mean that when they give the Aztecs to us, we don't get that wonder too?
No, you do.
Okay.
It's not an Aztec thing. Anybody can build a wonder.
Oh, anybody can build it.
Yes.
No, somebody can Monty like, and then learn how to sacrifice things. Okay.
It's like Wonders of the Ancient World DLC from Civ 5.
Yeah.
We talked about rushing classical and ancient wonders with China, but in the case of the Aztecs, they can rush districts.
Yeah, because they convert everything to workers and need the workers to rush the districts. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Man, we're going to keep catching ourselves with this. The builders can rush the districts. I know we would often talk about building workers. I guess we have to talk about working builders now. Because building builders just, ugh.
Training builders. There you go.
Training. Sure. They are training them. You used to be a warrior. Now, here's your hammer. Go smash that until you're dead.
The five of you that survived are now builders. Now go build that before we whip you to death. Or we're going to whip you to death anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Eagle Warrior, we know that it can convert defeated enemy. I did enjoy this conversion ability works only against the units of other civilizations, not barbarians. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yes, no grinding the camp, no grinding barb camps.
Yeah. You have to grind somebody else.
Unique ability, the gifts for the Aztecs. Yeah, I'm not even trying to pronounce that other. Luxuries give amenities to extra cities.
Ooh.
And each different luxury improved in Aztec territory gives +1 combat strength to Aztec military units.
Yeah, more luxuries, more death.
The shinier they are, the deadlier they are.
Nope.
So I'm thinking when it says luxuries give amenities to extra cities, is that like in Civilization V with Indonesia when you settled on another continent? Air quotes, continent, that you would get a unique luxury. So to have extra cities, you would need at least 2. So any city above and beyond 2, luxuries give amenities to those cities, but not your capital, or in turn cast terms, collapal.
Probably something along the lines of...
I love parsing these things.
A source of amenity gives some amount that can be spread across whatever number of cities, and then the Aztecs get more.
Yeah, it might be like Civ 4 when it came to all of the local resources in a city. So maybe amenities, especially that comes from luxury, can only supply the nearby city. Perhaps Aztecs can supply nearby city plus another one, for example. Who knows?
Yeah, so it kind of goes into the happiness, how it's local happiness. It seems like the luxuries are only affecting the local city, whereas for the Aztecs, it affects additional cities.
It's also interesting to note how in the, at the very least, something that I did note in the China video is that while they were building the Great Wall, the top bar, basically, where you used to have strategic resources, has every resource now.
Oh, you got to keep track, right?
Yeah.
Plus, they got to confuse you. It was like, okay, is that a strategic resource, or is that a luxury resource, or is that a bonus resource? Haha, yeah. Screw you. We're just going to put them all
up. Cows are a strategic resource. You're going to build a new cow rider unit.
Exactly. Aztecs should be about usual Aztec-y selves, except they're more builder up. They seem more buildable this time. rather than one track mind.
People have been saying they're kind of designed for early enough expansion by using the Eagle Warriors to take the enemy's units so that you can build up new cities as you expand, or build up taken over cities with the districts so that you can keep going wider to get more unique luxury resources for even more amenities and snowball from there.
Yeah,
and with the resources affecting the amenities affecting nearby cities too, they seem very like a very wide civilization rather than being tall.
Well, also with amenities affecting your units.
Combat strength.
Yeah, you want to get as wide as possible to get as many of those as you can.
Yep. The more you get, the stronger you hit. And the stronger you hit, the more builders you get. The more builders you get, the more stuff you get. And that way, actually, I think even on that place, because they can rush builders, you could actually put a crappy city. Maybe it's on the coast somewhere, but there's not much else there except for some luxuries in the water. And then you just slap it down and send a bunch of builders over to mass build a district or two when it wouldn't necessarily otherwise be able to do so.
Pete asks in the chat, why build workers, or in this case, why work builders, as the Aztecs? It's like they can build a civ around city-state worker stealing. Well, that is a thing. We know city-states are in the game, but I have yet to see any evidence of workers, builders, I guess, in this case now. But anyway, why build them? Well, seeing as how the conversion only works of units of other civilizations and not barbarians, if you have no other civilizations in your immediate vicinity, you may still actually have to build workers.
It's a toss. We don't know if they're going to count city-states as different civilizations for the purposes of us, like how they used to in Civ 5, where a city-state counted as a civilization for the purposes of an artifact.
Yeah. You never know. You could be farming city-states, but then you...
But the city-states will kind of bite back, though.
Well, that's what you hope, because you're sending your warriors over there to go fight them to make builders. So you want them to do that, but you're not going to get anything out of them. And we've seen some unique bonuses for playing nice with city-states. So it'll be kind of like, do I need this city-states bonus for how I'm playing the Aztecs? No? Well, you guys get to sacrifice all your units to me.
Flower Wars, woo!
So that's the other thing, too, is like, I don't think you don't actually have to play the Aztecs towards conquering a neighbor. You could actually just clear war on them and just farm out their units and then pillaging their lands and only then taking a city that may have a luxury that you don't have, versus ignoring the ones that are crappy. And if the AI is anything like the Civ 5 AI, you could burn down a Civ till it's small and then wait for it to settler spam out to new areas.
Anytime you start a sentence with the Civilization 6 AI is like the Civilization 5 AI, I kind of winced in places I don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
There was a collective sigh, it just probably wasn't audible.
Yep.
We're crestfallen at that.
But anyways, to be clear, this is not DLC. The Aztecs are not actually DLC at all. A pre-release bonus for those who deign to actually buy the game when it comes out. And if you choose to wait for a Steam sale, well, suck it. You don't get to play it until 90 days after release.
It is your reward for pre-ordering the game. Because it's not like you pre-order and you get early access. This is your early access. Like they say, you exclusively gain early access. That's exactly what it is.
Yep. And then 90 days later, everybody gets it.
Certainly you can debate whether 90 days is a good number, whether it's... Some people are like, okay, 90 days, that's an awful long time. Someone was like, how about like a week or two? I think 30 days might have even been sufficient enough, but...
30 days is equivalent to some other, like, Call of Duty tends to release map packs on one particular platform a month in advance, and Battlefield on a different platform, as an example. But that's only, like, 30 days at most. The 90 days of this seems a bit excessive, if you ask me.
Nope.
The 90 days isn't a big deal to me. It's Civilization. I'm already, like, shut up and take my money. So,
yeah. There's always that.
You're going to be done within 90 days.
They have already taken your money and they've pre-ordered it, so you've already got it from day
right? Yeah.
Day one. So you're not going to have to wait the 90 days one way or the other. I see what you did there, Kyle. I see what you did.
Yeah. Exactly. Right?
I'm glad they did amend the announcement, though, because when it was first published to Steam, it said, starting today, those who pre-order, and I'm like, you do realize that wording's going to make people say, well, I guess I better cancel my pre-order from yesterday and pre-order today, and they got rid of that part.
That did actually pop up in a couple threads going, wait, I already pre-ordered. This better not be.
That was never going to be the case. I don't think anyone really thought about it. It was just kind of a, Oh, right. We didn't construct that sentence as well as we could have, so they just cut that out.
Yeah.
If that had been the case, then I would have said, okay, you have cause to complain.
Oh, yeah.
It would be busy work, but it would have been stupid. That would have been stupid. I would have been like, yeah, you're right, but no.
It would also become Steam's first game that lost massive quantities of pre-orders just to get it back 5 minutes later.
Those sales charts are going to look really
good. Yeah, you got to set a record somehow.
And besides, I don't think Steam has an actual back-end technical way to determine whether or not you pre-ordered before a certain date or after a certain date.
Not too.
Because you're still pre-ordering the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You'd have to change the package that it was you'd ordered if you wanted the date of... I know they can change some packages and say, you bought this in general, or you bought this in a certain country, and then you bought this in rest of world. There are a couple of games that do differ like that.
It'd be weird. Because, I mean, I have literally bought games within an hour of launch and still got the pre-order bonus. Because it was technically pre-order.
Of course, I'd be able to say, yeah, well, I'm going to wait for the Steam sale to buy this now.
Okay.
Gur and Arg, and it's like, well, if you wait for the Steam sale, then you're not going to be able to play it until the Steam sale comes around, which is part of the reason why you end up paying more, because you got a chance to play that before other people because you made the choice to purchase the game before the Steam sale. Just like those who pre-ordered the game, their bonus, some people are like, oh, never pre-order games. Maybe they perceive like, what can we do to try to incentivize people to pre-order? Yeah. It's the game, the early access. It's also not going to be a situation of where you can never get the Aztecs. Like, only pre-orders will ever be able to play the Aztecs. No.
Yeah, no.
It's not that. It was communicated well in advance, so all good.
Yep. Steam sales have been wreaking havoc with game companies and getting people to buy the game when it's not during a Steam sale.
I could see it being something like, okay, if you pre-order, you're going to get this with the pre-order price. But then if you wait until afterwards, then, well, guess what? It's going to cost you more to buy the game afterwards plus that additional DLC, we'll call it a DLC for the sake of argument, than if you just pre-ordered it and it was kind of bundled with it. But that kind of goes with what they're doing with the deluxe edition of Civilization VI. Because the deluxe edition of Civilization VI, in addition to the soundtrack, 4 DLCs, 4 downloadable content, that if you buy the deluxe version, then you get to access that DLC at a discount if they're bundled all together.
Yeah, except if you're going to be waiting for a Steam sale for the base game, you're probably going to be waiting for the same discount on the DLC at the same time. And that kind of is all a bit of a wash because, well, it's on sale, so you technically saved money anyways.
There's no guarantee that the digital deluxe won't be left available for purchase anyway. Because, it's not one of those pre-order specific things. It's like, it's essentially, they call it the digital deluxe, it's essentially a season pass.
Yeah. Anybody who says that they're going to wait for a Steam sale anyways to buy the game cannot complain about the Aztecs being a pre-order bonus. It only affects people who are planning on buying the game within the first 90 days. And if you're going to be waiting for a Steam sale where it's on sale, say next summer sale, well then the time frame will have already passed by the time you even bother picking it up, so you won't even notice.
Now, there is a part of me in the announcement that kind of made me go, probably shouldn't do it this way or phrase it this way, but it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. When it says this content will unlock, so I could get some people saying, okay, I didn't pre-order. It's already downloaded to my machine, but I just can't get to it because it'll unlock. I've already downloaded it. Let me play it. I know that's come up before in other contexts. I think that's pretty minor, but I would like to think that it will be. The content will be available as an after 90 days. It almost treats it like a patch.
Yeah.
The early access is over. Here's your additional content. It's now downloaded. Now you play it. If it downloaded to people who didn't pre-order, I could very easily see someone saying, okay, it's already on my machine. I'm going to try to figure out how to access it now before the 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just avoid that. Minimize the likelihood of people doing that and download and unlock at the same time. Not just download, full stop, and then unlock after 90 days.
The unlock seems to say to me like it is going to be part of that initial download. You just won't be able to access it.
Yeah.
And it's going to let you be able to play with people that do have it. So you could potentially be playing at someone that does have it right away. So it'd have to be on there, I think.
Yeah, so that's the paradox way where you always get the DLC just so that you can play with other people.
Then why wouldn't it just treat it like Civilization 5 DLC, where it recognizes, oh, this person doesn't have this DLC. Yeah, you can check off the boxes to say to play with this. And then just under that configuring game data, oh, it just goes ahead and disables that.
Well, it's entirely possible that it might do that. Like, for example, American Truck Simulator basically has almost every single state and every single new vehicle is a separate DLC, even though it's kind of part of the base game.
Yeah.
So they could just do that and have the Aztecs as a literal DLC, even though it's free, and then when they become available, it just auto-downloads to everyone.
Yep. Could be just that. I would hope if they were smart and not idiotic about it, that it would not download the Aztecs to everybody.
Yep.
The way the game is built, mostly using like Lua and XML for Civ 5 style, then most of the leader stuff's already there, and it's not protected in any way, shape, or form. So all you would have to do is flip some flag somewhere to have it in the game. And then,
similar to like how you can get some of the, you know, the Beyond Earth starting configurations, you can just turn a flag and get them on, whereas normally you have to play starships to get them.
Exactly. That sort of stuff.
The theme for Civilization VI, coming from Christopher Tin, who composed the Grammy award-winning Baba Yetu theme for Civilization IV. It has already been performed. As of this recording, it was a few days ago on the 19th of July in London, England, translated to the Dream of Flight. I don't know if I can pronounce this properly, but why not? I like hate mail. Sogno di Valer. Valar? There's an I in there, so I wasn't quite certain which way I wanted to go with that. Christopher Tin also said on his Facebook page, "Want to know where I got the Italian lyrics? They're from the Leonardo da Vinci quote that Leonard Nimoy recites when you discover flight as a technology in Civ 4. Quote, for once you have tasted flight, you will walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward. From there you have been, and there you will long to return." Yay! I think a lot of us asked, where was Christopher for the Civilization 5 theme anyway?
Yeah, okay.
But will it be as awesome as Baba Yetu?
I hope so. I'm just saying, that's my ringtone. So, like, I love it.
This actually isn't the first time since Civ 4 that Tin has been involved with Civilization music. He was involved with the theme for Civilization World Song of the Mountain, which is very nice. I don't think it's as good as Baba Yetu. There's going to be inevitable comparisons, of course. I try not to compare it to Baba Yetu. I think it's a tall order, but quite frankly, I'm not going to be disappointed if it's not as good as Baba Yetu. I'm just going to be disappointed if I don't like it.
Yeah.
And if I don't like it, I guess the part of that's on me, really. But the fact that he's talking about where did he get the Italian lyrics from, and he's tying it back to Civilization IV, he's obviously thought about it. There aren't any known clips of it available. I understand they want to make it an exclusive sort of a thing.
They want you to have that moment, like we did with Civ 4, the first game, when you sit down, you open it the first time, and it's going through the narration thing, and you hear that behind narrating, you know?
Yep. And I guess that begs the next question, is that the only music that Tin is doing? For Civ 6, is he involved with any of the other music selections at all?
Let's hope he is involved with more of them.
It'd be nice.
And, of course, in the thread on CFC, there were a couple of people that were like, I actually hated Baba Yetu, Runs and Hides, and it's like, oh.
You better run and hide.
But in more generally, yes, there is a theme for Civilization VI. Hey, there might not have been any theme at all. We didn't know until this announcement, right?
No music at all. Supply your own.
And then we're going to combine a couple of videos here, one which was alluded to at the very start of our look at news for this week.
Yeah, so we're looking at the first look at the art, as well as the dev team video that we're playing Leader Bingo with. You know, I hate to introduce this one because I'm not a big fan of the art style on the leaders. I love it on the tiles. Like, it looks great on the tiles, but on the leaders, it's just too cartoony for me.
There's a lot of people, obviously, who have been going on about the art, and it hasn't been going on in the past about how it kind of looks a little bit mobile game-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That has been putting a fair few people off, because they're like, ugh, I don't want to be playing this, because they think, why would I play this on the PC when, you know, if it's going to be made it look like it's being played on a mobile, why aren't I playing it on a mobile?
I've tried to view it from the perspective of, as opposed to, wow, this looks mobile, yay mobile for looking like this, which is accessible and readable.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to know that Firaxis is not deterred by the perception, ooh, this is a mobile style, ooh, can't have that. Quite honestly, get over it.
Right.
I can understand you not liking it, but as soon as it's, oh, it's too mobile, stop.
Right. Yeah, I think it works fantastically on the tiles, though, because, you know, the over-exaggerated features on those tiles make them look really good, but don't like it on the leaders.
Yeah, the leaders themselves have kind of I'm going to say cartoony-ish a bit more. Now, they don't have super exaggerated features like you can see in some cartoons or some anime, right. But they do look kind of a bit Nickelodeon.
No.
No?
No. They're animated, obviously. They have to be.
I'm just trying to think of a good term. The only thing I could think of was they're a bit source filmmaker-ish. Or like amateur machinima makers, what kind of, how they would rig their models or how they would animate their models. It's hard to describe, really.
Well, at the very least, maybe the leader screens won't blow up your graphics card.
Yeah, that's true. That was something I was thinking about, too. Like, they're kind of balancing it a little bit, I think. Make it more accessible to more people.
Or at least not be so overdone. The map stuff, I didn't really like the first couple looks of it because it looked bad, but ever since those first couple pictures, it all looked relatively decent. And it's readable.
Yeah, early age and the terrain map has kind of looked a bit, but the few pictures and the few videos that they've released of games when it comes into the industrial and modern eras look a lot better. They look a lot more vibrant, almost like the world in essence.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about it, though, is the Fog of War. It has that really map-esque feel and just kind of peels away. I like that a lot.
I don't mind that unexplored terrain. I really think it's a bit of a turn-off for already previously explored terrain. I know it sounds a bit odd, but obviously, just it has a Fog of War, I think, it's just a bit kind of,
well, I mean, they have to have something in there. You don't have vision on it, but you already know what some of the stuff is there, or at least used to be there at some point.
I know it's designed to be like a map, but I wouldn't mind not if even where you could just save all of that, kind of making it look like a map and have that for, you know, a zoomed-in mini-map, for example, and just have like a standard Fog of War where it's just kind of all similar to a Civ 5 Fog of War on the main game, for example. Like, I would love to see the entire world map written in that map style just as a zoom-in to the entire map where you can see, oh, there's things over here, but I wouldn't actually see it on the game world, if you know what I mean.
I don't mind it. It's probably going to be something that people are going to have to actually play and use for a bit rather than just seeing it in screenshots and videos. And then you can start making decisions about whether or not it works.
Hopefully there might even be a demo beforehand, and I doubt there would be, but if they release a demo, you could just kind of try and get a feel for it and see if it is that kind of thing that you're into.
Frexicon!
I'm thinking more like the Civ 5 demo. They did have a Civ 5 demo, didn't they?
I don't think so.
No.
Not until after it came out, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was after it came out, yeah. Shame.
In the art video, Ed Beach.
We knew we were going to make the map more important with the game, and what better way to kind of bring that out is just to have the art style reflected, because the coolest maps in the world are those, like, early maps where there were sea dragons on the edge of it. As soon as we hit on that theme for the art style, we said, why did it take us 6 civilizations to come up with that?
Different designers, different feel.
And it also goes back to what we've talked about before, since Soren Johnson mentioned it in relation to Civilization 4, you got the third, a third, a third, a third new, a third old, a third modified. An art style, it's very aesthetic, of course, a few types of preferences, but as I said before and as you've said, Matt, can I read what's on the screen? Am I able to make sense of what's going on? As far as the leaders go, yeah, okay, I definitely look at it and I think, ooh, this actually looks a little bit more Civilization Revolution than it does Civilization 5 or Civilization 4, but I think it's really going to come down to how immersive is that style. The animation and the looks and also the music, am I going to get the sense of when a leader is telling me something, is it consistent with what I see in terms of how they are interacting with you and their body language and the eye contact, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, if they're telling you to get out of their territory with your scouts, are they just sitting there being calm about it, or are they...
Because I found that in Civilization 5, you get some leaders, like the Texans, like, I'm really pissed off at you. And they look happy, like, or they look kind of passive, and it's just, okay, you know, these things don't match. They could be truly exaggerated. They could be 2D leaders, for all I care, and show some freaking emotion.
Mm.
And the comment before about, and we still don't know about the system requirements of Civilization 6, but whatever style you're going for, yes, it would be nice to see people who are like, you know, I meet the minimum system requirements, but I kind of have to go in strategic view not because I prefer strategic view, but because it takes too long to do anything, even in the early game on really small and or on really small maps, et cetera, et cetera. That also has to be a balance. And I will say again, there's no doubt they've been influenced by mobile games and tablet games. I mean, heck, right from the beginning here, Civilization VI, there's a related article on Fast to Create. Touchscreen, no, we're designing for that right from the outset. Not something that we're adding on after the fact. And then as for the development team, both these were hosted by Greg Miller from kindoffunny.com, and there was a lot of hate for this guy. I don't know anything about this guy or kindoffunny.com. Someone's like, why is he here? Well, he's a mediator. He's facilitating the conversation. So what?
He's a media person who had an idea and said, hey, let's do this. Or
exactly.
Something.
I think he just still has the fallout from the fact that he left IGN, and now he's got what kind of funny, which is within the Rooster Teeth empire, if you will.
Oh, gosh, how dare you leave a company and not be loyal to it.
So this is an unrelated internet slap fight.
Yes,
definitely. Yeah.
It came up more in the Civ development team video, but that's because that was the first one.
Is Civilization VI the best one yet? No pressure.
Civilization VI builds on everything we've done before.
Is it the best one yet? Yes or no?
Yes!
That's what I like to hear.
From the comments from the Civ development team, I did enjoy Adam Wipefoot's comment, which was they better have made the AI part of the 33% they radically changed.
Yes.
Yeah, not just to address issues we had with the Civ 5 AI, but the Civ AI is going to have to work within the Civilization VI context, which kind of also relates to the leaders and the civilizations that they've announced. If you look over their unique abilities, etc., it's wow, almost all of these are tied to either new features, completely new, or those features that have been revised as compared to Civilization V or previous titles. There hasn't been, oh, this leader in the Civilization VI context, yeah, you know what, that could have appeared as the uniques in Civilization V. I think it's smart that they're profiling these civilizations first for that reason. It helps highlight the features and helps tie things together when it's difficult for us, not able to play the game, how do all these features go together? And helps link different things and different pieces of information that are coming out at different times.
Yep.
We absolutely spend more time than the fans think reading this forum.
cut to you guys crying at the computer.
Yeah.
AMD will join Firaxis again to turn Civ 6 into a DirectX 12 showcase. AMD worked with Beyond Earth development team to showcase Mantle.
Rip Mantle.
Yep. So you see how well that worked.
Exactly.
Do it again. Maybe this is AMD's way of making sure Vulkan survives. Like, we'll go put DX12 in Civ 6 and no one will use it again. Civ 6 embraces DX12's async compute and explicit multi-adapter. So basically what those two things mean is that the rendering side and the graphics load side, which is both for a Civ-type title pretty huge, will get faster and better in all effect. Because on every map, when you look at the map, there's like 10,000 plus items that all need to be individually rendered. Adding in some DX12 multi-threading, multi-core, etc., means that your singular DX11 thread will just get laughed at as everything else is already done by DX12. The explicit multi-adapter is something AMD's been doing for a little bit. They did it for Ashes of Singularity already, where basically it doesn't matter whose graphics card you have. If you have an AMD card and an NVIDIA card, because you're weird, you can slap them both in, and it'll integrate both graphics cards.
My first thought when I read that was, choose a side, hippie.
Yep. And of course, the other side is, if you are one of those weird people who bought an APU, which is basically a CPU, but it has like an integrated graphics bit into it, a core or two, then it could also use a discrete card like normal people buy, and that.
So it's basically like a Skylake CPU.
Yeah, well, AMD has been doing it long before Intel did it. Although, keeping in mind, when you use two different graphics cards, especially if they are two completely different ones, you're only basically going to get double the amount of the worst card at best.
No, you're only as strong as your weakest link, so, yeah.
Exactly.
And just one more little thing about taking advantage of DirectX 12. Just one little thing.
oh, yeah, it might require Win 10.
Yeah.
But whatever.
My next PC, then. Okay.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series official website at
thepolycast.net.
Then people complain, oh no, Win 10 might steal my data because it's a privacy problem. And yet they whip out their smartphone. There's at least a dozen companies taking all their data off their smartphone already.
There's so much. I don't know why you're complaining about Windows having access to a couple of things when you give, for example, Apple or Google a absolute crap ton more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, there are certain privacy things that I really don't want in my Win 10, and I turn off because you can.
We recommend you upgrade to Windows 7.
Yep.
Skip this, skip 8. That means when Windows 11 comes out, you skip that and wait for
Windows
12.
3-1-1. 3-1-1.
That's not going to help you with playing Civ 6.
No.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Alright. You can play Civ 6 times.
I don't know. I'd say a fresh install of Civ 3 on Windows 3.11 is probably going to be more stable than your computer.
You started to say a fresh install of Civ 3.
Yeah,
I know. I heard it. Whoa, you veered away from that cliff side.
Oh, I fumbled that so badly.
Speaking of which, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah, it's probably a good time. Thank you for listening to episode number 261 of Polycast. I'm the Chris D, and I was joined by Dan Q.
Leader portraits aren't the only views to be revealed.
Makalua.
We're not getting boob a cut quickening side of Dan.
Imagine.
You're the only one that mentioned boobs.
Pants too busy looking under Mackie's skirt.
Get out of there.
That's not where the boobs are.
Polycast after dark, everyone. And our guest, Alchemical Dream.
Nice to meet you guys.
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say Holy Roman Empire confirmed?
Oh, well, yeah, that would be Germany.
Yeah, Frederick the First.
And that is what the Great Wall should do. It should just be additional bombardment capability.
Don't mind me.
45 different tiles.
Yeah, I just like double layer this.
That'll slow units down.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you...
Ooh, confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
It actually would fit.
It would fit.
I think there would be rather a lot of unrest about that.
Yeah. It's a bit.
Go, go, Monty, go.
So, Maggie.
Oh, sorry. I...
Like, honestly, I hear amenities and I think, oh, so toilets? I mean, that's an amenity.
Well, the unit building does have some giant holes, so who knows? Maybe.
So, yeah, the Eagle Warrior, we know that it can convert defeated enemy. Blah, blah, blah. There's my word.
So, we're just flipping at it.
Blah, 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 blah.
But speaking of winning,
it's Christopher Tin, right? That's the segue, right?
Yeah, that was the segue. Yeah, no, it doesn't count as a segue, but I point out it's a segue.
He hasn't won a Grammy for it yet.
So in other words, Madge is not upgrading his computer until 2025 now.
That's exactly what I was going for, but okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
To the fudge.
No, well, what I heard was Madge is waiting for a Steam sale to upgrade his computer.
Yep.
That's he's waiting for Steam to start selling the hardware so he can get it cheap in a Steam sale. The usual motley crew of Dan, Mackie, and Mad, our guests, I can't remember how you want to be referred to.
Alchemical Dreamworks.
Yeah, okay. Our special guest, Alchemical Dream, and yeah.
Chris doesn't know how to do this crap.
Apparently.
He said you wanted to get out of here. Shall we start that again, maybe?
Record date July 23rd, 2016. Civilization VI Clips copyright 2K Games. Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth Sound Clips copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.